All right, my goodness, thank you very much to Giles for another edition of Around the Town Sounds. The time is 5:59. Way to go, Giles. You are listening to KOOP, Hornsby, Austin. That's out of the way. And here comes us, being the Mascot Wedding Show, and we're going to start things off with Mac.
Correct. We're going to start things off with me. Yay. Oh, my gosh. Does it smell like something to you in here?
Oh, I don't understand.
No, it has a pleasant smell for some reason.
It's kind of like, it's winter aroma, I believe.
It smells a little like baby powder.
Oh.
David, I think I'm having a stroke.
Hey, oh my God, do you put baby powder on your toast?
Off of the album No Color, this is the Dodos with Black Knight. More Mascot Wedding Show coming up.
The time is 6:04 in the p.m. You are still listening to KOOP Hornsby Austin, 91.7 on your FM dial or online worldwide at KOOP.org. This is the Mascot Wedding Show Radio's Hour of Unspeakable Power. My name is David Hotta.
My name is Mac Blake. This is the show where we open the phone lines to the community. Anytime you want to call in and be a part of today's conversation, please do. The phone number is 472-5667-472-KA... 472.
You dummy.
472-KOOP. If you'd rather tweet at us, we are at Mascot Wedding. I will open it in just a second. You tweet it, I will read it. And we just heard off their album No Color. That was The Dodos with Black Knight. Anything said in this show is just the opinion of the person that said it. Nobody else. And that was thank you to Giles for another edition of Around the Town Sounds. Yay. Which was just that. Sounds. Barely music.
Burn. Take that.
Oh, just joking. It got better at the end.
The co-op room. Jeez.
I'm right here.
Making friends everywhere.
How are you doing, David?
I'm doing all right. I forgot to shower today, so that throws everything off. Like, it sets me off on this weird sort of sliding doors path that...
Sliding Doors, a movie with Gwyneth Paltrow?
Yes, the greatest movie ever.
It's pretty good.
Where I feel like I feel like some sort of gross hobo, even though nothing has changed except I haven't showered today.
Sliding Doors is a good way. It's like shorthand to explain like parallel realities or something like that, which come up a lot if you're me.
Oh, absolutely. Or if you're Community, boing.
Oh, yeah.
But you know what? Good for them, because that term has outlasted the likability of that movie.
Oh, sliding door situation?
Yeah, exactly.
So I was not here last week.
You were not.
So thank you to guest host Dave Humans.
Yes, that's right. Thank you to Dave.
And you guys were talking about something last week, because I saw one tweet from Bohonkus13, even though he is tweet-spended.
Yeah.
And he says, Nancy Travis is hot?
I felt rotten because I didn't get to that until after the show.
What were you talking? Why'd you feel rotten? He's tweet-spended.
I understand. Well, I'm the good parent. I was going to let him sneak in after bedtime while you were gone. We were talking about that new Tim Allen show, Last Man Standing.
Oh, Nancy Travis, isn't it?
Yeah, she's Tim Allen's wife.
Oh, poor Nancy Travis.
I know.
She was like, what's a good way to... She was like the Christina Applegate of her time, in that if you were a comedy that needed an attractive lady to be in it, you'd go Nancy Travis.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. Wow.
What was she in?
Oh, she was in...
Let me see here. I feel like she had a run of... comedies where she played like the funny leading lady.
I feel like she had a run where she was brought into sitcoms right before they got canceled. Oh, she was Becker's girlfriend for a couple of seasons.
That didn't need to be said out loud.
Yeah, look, I never watched Becker. I just knew that. I read a TV guide every now and then. She was like the Tennessee McGinley of women for television sitcoms.
She was the voice. Oh, she's aged about how you would imagine.
She's still getting it done.
So I Married an Axe Murderer. She
of
was
course,
in that.
Yes. Greedy, I think she was in.
She was the voice of that person on Duckman.
Wow, Duckman.
Duckman. What a weird show that was.
Seriously. Nice try, UPN.
Was that UPN? I thought that was...
Oh, that was US. No, I'm thinking of something else. I'm thinking... Wait, they moved it to UPN. Who cares, David?
Hold on. I'm trying to... So she was...
Take that to your trivia bowl.
Come on. Destiny turns on the radio. That's not a good example, Mac. So I married an axe murderer. Okay, there's one. Three men and a little lady. I don't know if that's a good example. Air America, probably another bad example. She was in Loose Cannons.
Oh, wow.
Three men and a baby as well.
What was the thesis? All right,
my thesis is awful.
But yeah, so we were, I think we only ended up talking about two things on last week's show. The Astros moving and that Tim Allen show.
Oh, if you enjoyed that, it's time for some Mascot Wedding sports talk.
Bum, 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 meow, 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 meow,
meow, meow, meow. Here, let's do that in cat stereo.
Bum, 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 meow, 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 meow.
Sports talk. So I had a weird Thanksgiving. How was your Thanksgiving, David?
My Thanksgiving, it started off strong, got better, ended horribly. I'll get to that later. You tell your story.
So I kind of a weird Thanksgiving because I usually spend Thanksgiving in San Antonio with my family.
Sure.
But this time, as a birthday present to me, my little sister, who is currently a student at Texas A&M University.
Gig 'em whoop.
Exactly. Got us all tickets. Me, my older sister, my older brother Calvin, mm-hmm. and my older sister's boyfriend, Craig, if he's listening, shout out Craigster. We all got tickets to the game, which is very nice. Mm-hmm. But it was timed in such a way that we really couldn't do Thanksgiving in San Antonio and still make it up there in time.
Right.
So I spent the Thanksgiving morning just kind of like at my own place in Sunken Valley, mm-hmm. just eating some Kix cereal, watching a little whatever, and then showered and drove somewhere. So it wasn't a traditional Thanksgiving. Mm. I never did see Calvin.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But I did go to the Texas A&M game, and I'd like to tell you about it.
Sure.
I remember when Carolyn first went to school. That's my little sister's name up there.
Oh.
Being a UT alum, mm-hmm. I, of course, pulled for the Battle Cattle.
Of course.
And I was like, oh, we should go to a game together. And she's like, give me a ticket in the student section. I'll go, and I'll totally wear – I'm not going to, like, sell out. I'll wear my, like, Longhorn stuff. And she was like, no, you can't go. You'll get beaten up.
Oh, my God.
Or he'll get yelled at or something. Mm-hmm. And so when I went this time, I was feeling a little like a little bit of a chip on my shoulder.
Sure.
Like I kept expecting it. Although no one, I have to admit, no one said anything.
Of course not.
They were all super nice.
Yeah.
No one said any comment. Like when I walked by, no one was like, T-sip. Sipping on some tea. And as always, by overcompensating, I became the monster.
Uh-huh.
Because I was walking around in my UT hat, my UT hooded sweatshirt over a UT T-shirt. Which you couldn't really tell, but it's sticking at the bottom.
Oh, sure. They anyway. Could tell. They could see the cotton.
Got to rock that cotton. And wherever every time I made eye contact with the person in Aggie colors, which was everyone.
Of course.
I kind of had this like chip on my shoulder like, yeah, how about that? Like, just everyone I looked at, I was like, weren't expecting me, were you? And I think they were fine with it.
Uh-huh.
And so we're rolling in, and as we're pulling into the stadium, we're walking there. And we're getting there, and their game's about to start, so they're shutting down the tailgate stuff. And so there's a lot of, like, you know, promotional booths, like, hey, we're HEB, we're giving away whatever.
Right.
And there was some booth that wanted me to sign up for something, and they're giving away free bags of chips. So I just ran up, and I go, here's some chips, and I'm taking them. And I just took them and ran away. I didn't sign up. I just went up and grabbed some chips and ran.
Wow.
I had the moxie in me.
Yeah, the green-eyed monster.
Jealousy?
No, green chili sauce.
Oh, okay. I did get a little bit of that. The chips tasted really good because I sold them. What's the statute of limitations of stealing chips? 20 minutes?
I think it's very long. Surprisingly long.
Oh, my goodness. Well, if it's longer than 20 minutes, I'd be surprised. So we make it into the game, and it took a while, and the game was very exciting.
It was. A little sloppy, but okay.
Yeah, exactly. It was a weird feeling because that A&M was playing very well.
Yes.
Except their quarterback kept throwing interceptions.
Right.
But our Texas offense was bad. Mm-hmm. We scored off of our first two touchdowns. One was a touchdown. One was set up by a very long kick return.
Yes.
Both not good signs of a good offense. Mm-hmm. And the punting was awful. And just watching the game from the field, you can be like, "That? Why'd you throw that?"
Yeah.
Every time Case McCoy ran the ball, I was like, that was a stupid decision. Uh-huh. But we're somehow like still in the game. But here's some things I learned about. But Kyle Field is really cool. It is a really like intense place.
Oh, I love Kyle Field. It's great.
I've never actually seen a sporting event where I wasn't rooting for the home team.
Uh huh.
I mean, I've seen I went to a Round Rock Express game where the SA Missions were playing. A, I didn't know that ahead of time. B, I didn't care either way.
Right, exactly. I spent more time rooting for the Dots at the Round Rock game.
Exactly. Go Green Dot! A&M took the lead very late in the game, and that place went insane.
Yeah.
And so it was It was kind of crazy being in a place where like something bad happened and that many people were super happy about it. But it was cool to see, like, you know, because I don't think I've ever seen a sporting event that came down to the wire like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
When A&M scored really late, I think it was like a minute and a half left. And that looked like, wow, this is a great comeback. Because they did come back from like 8 points down with 5 minutes to go. That's decent.
Oh, yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Or I don't know. Maybe it was longer than that time-wise. But whatever. But the place went nuts. And I've never seen I've been to a lot of Spurs games where people have hit big shots, but none of them like buzzer beaters or anything. And so for this game to hit the kick at the last minute. I did go to an NFL game. Remember when after Hurricane Katrina, the Saints were homeless?
Right.
And so they played at the Alamo Dome, and I saw a Saints-Lions game where the Lions kicked a field goal as time expired to win that game.
Yeah.
But I don't think there was anyone in that stadium that really cared.
No.
Like, not even the Lions or Saints really cared. It was the Joey Harrington-led Lions versus the Saints were led by some ginger.
Yeah, it was the going through the motions bowl.
Yeah, it really was. Although it would have been cool if the Saints stuck in San Antonio, but seeing how much they mean to New Orleans, of course they should stay in New Orleans.
Thanks a lot, prosperity.
But something else that struck me. I'm not that privy to the A&M fight song and everything. Oh, that's the other reason this game was special, of course, because it's going to be the last time it's played for like next 8 years.
Right, at least.
At least, maybe longer. And there was an atmosphere in the air, definitely. And during halftime, the UT band played, you know, and then, of course, that's when actually, okay, there were some people chirping in the crowd, like, back and forth, nothing that bad, but when the Texas band came on,
yeah,
there was a lot of like, oh, it's a high school band.
Show band in the Southwest versus the band that wins halftime all the time.
Yeah, get them off the field. I was like, why? These are college students who are just playing music.
Uh-huh.
Pump the brakes.
Yeah.
If I'm a person who goes to UT and you're like a, you know, not a non-2%er Aggie.
Okay.
What are you like making fun of me for? What do you make fun of Austin for?
I'm going to say steers and cues.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
Steers and queers.
Okay. If you must, that's fine.
And so they're like, here comes the Texas band, a show band of the Southwest, to play a musical tribute to one of the most lasting bands of the 70s and 80s, Queen. And I was like, you're not helping UT band. It's like, here comes UT band. They're going to form a giant ball of hummus. Like, it's not, like, they already think we're hippies. Not that that matters. In fact, whatever.
Right, exactly.
But I just thought that was funny because maybe it was a UT band, like, oh, we're going to play right into it.
Yeah.
It's like, let's play some Rufus Wainwright, which, God, I would have loved that. I love Rufus Wainwright.
And here comes the Hacky Sack Corps.
I might change the second song of the show.
Go for it.
Play a little R-dub.
Sure.
I don't know. I'll plan it out better.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah, and so, but at the end, Texas is like forming things on the field, and that sort of, I forget his name, but that famous director.
Steven Spielberg.
No. Wasn't it Steven? The guy that used to have like the old musicals and the, because he used to be like a military director.
You're killing me.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay, I'll look it up during the break.
Okay.
If you know it, 472-5667.
Yeah, that's right. That's your number.
Yeah,
co-op's number.
Okay, co-op's number, 472-KOOP. But so, and then Texas, like, you know, they formed the shape of the Longhorn, and then they formed the letters thanks, and then the Texas A&M symbol.
Yeah.
And they said, we'd like to thank, oh, did you see this on TV?
I did, yes.
Like, we'd like to thank Texas A&M for their many years of service.
Uh-huh.
And Texas A&M, God, those guys, God bless them, they just don't miss a beat when it comes to, like, ripping on Texas.
Yes.
So this is the last time the bands will play, and then the Aggie band was like, oh, we will, the fighting Aggie band, you know, hey, everyone in, and they are really visually impressive.
But oh, sure.
Like, hey, we're a salute to the Longhorns, the last time we'll play them, and they formed the shape of a longhorn, but then the people that were marching as their horns, like, went the other way, so they sawed off the horns.
Of course they did.
And then at the end, they went ahead and they formed their school symbol, the Texas A&M logo, and like, this Texas A&M logo to commemorate the tradition of the Aggies. We're also forming this logo for our rivals, Texas. Good job, Texas.
Jeez.
And it was like, you basically were like, hey, David, I bought you a car.
Oh, thanks,
man. Now I'm going to drive.
No, please don't.
Like, it's, here's our logo, but we're doing it for you.
Classless stooges.
You want to talk about classless stooges? Here's another thing. Oh, my gosh. So when they had the Aggie bonfire, which was very tragic.
Awful.
Texas canceled their hex rally. A&M still had their anti-Texas thing.
Of course they did.
But it was like, okay, fine. Water under the bridge, I don't care anymore.
And they also gave Major Applewhite food poisoning. Let's just go ahead and say it.
Okay, but...
let's just go ahead and say it.
They came out with a DVD.
Yes.
To commemorate that story and that emotional win. And although I don't think that win, you know, it made a lot of people feel better.
Oh, it sure did.
And so that is important. The name of the DVD...
Mm-hmm.
Burning Desire.
Are you kidding me with this?
I'm not.
Are you absolutely kidding me with this?
I'm not. It wasn't called Crushing Desire. Okay, but it was called Burning Desire.
Yeah.
Come on. Are you trying to honor these people's memory or subtly mock them?
Maybe. You know what? I think they were less, and this is going to sound awful, but whatever. I think they were less sad about the people dying and more sad about the bonfire going away. I really feel that sometimes. They're like, oh man, this tradition we had for so long, we can't do it anymore because some people messed up.
But Texas is all over their fight song.
Uh-huh, yes.
And are they going to change that?
That's where it gets interesting. Because their song is peppered with it, and ours is, you know, we got, you know, Texas fight, and it's goodbye to A&M. We could change that. That's a quick fix, but yeah, I mean a lot of mutual history as far as school identity is linked to each other, and I'm curious to see how that changes if it does.
I think that back, you know, when football was just taking hold, like way back in the day, I think the Texas story was like a couple of Texas students or faculty or alumni or something, like they're up at one of the Ivy League schools where they started playing football, and they like brought the game to UT, and I think UT's first game was against like a city team or something. And Aggie's first game, I think, was against Texas.
Right.
Back when Texas was called like varsity or something. Aggies were just the cadets. Speaking of peppering in, we did get a tweet from Skullfront. Might as well mention he's a loyal listener.
Yeah, he is.
He sent us an article, Women Surrenders in Black Friday Pepper Spray Incident.
Okay.
So did you hear about this? A lady pepper sprayed... Wait, hold on. A Southern California woman turned herself into authorities as a person who pepper sprayed video game shoppers in Walmart during Black Friday's shopping frenzy.
Wow.
How do you feel about that? Did you hear about that?
I did not hear about that. So this was just a lady. This was just a gal who was also a fellow shopper, and she pepper sprayed people?
Yeah, she really wanted that Modern Warfare 3 or whatever it was.
Here's the thing. I hate how pepper spray has become a punchline now because of all the Occupy Wall Street stuff and the protests and this is just something else to throw on top of it. I would hate to get pepper sprayed. That sounds like a lot of not fun.
Oh, did you ever see that? I think the very first episode of Jackass, Johnny Knoxville got like tased and all this stuff, and he said pepper spray by far the worst.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But now like you'll see comedians on Twitter specifically, and a very easy punchline is, you know, like, Happy Black Friday, don't get pepper sprayed, or like... Oh, the turkey this year was a little flat. Good thing I had my pepper spray. It's like, that is an instrument being used to disperse, like, to break up crowds who are protesting. You know, I don't know. It just drives me nuts. But as far as this Black Friday story goes.
You know what? I didn't really pay attention to it because I feel like it's the same thing every year.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Like, it's the same story of people freaking out too much. But thank you, Skullfront.
Yes, thank you very much. I kind of, this is going to sound coarse, but I don't care. Because anything that happens in Black Friday is prison rules. Like,
I feel like you know what you're getting into.
Exactly, yes.
Do you deserve to be trampled to death? Lord, no.
Absolutely not. Few people in this world ever do.
And do these people deserve to be tased? No.
Of course not.
Should they be prepared for the opportunity of craziness? They should be prepared.
I don't think it's an exaggeration to say you were taking your life in your hands on Black Friday.
You know what? It kind of isn't, depending on where you're going.
Yeah, exactly.
My mom was like, yeah, they're selling this flat screen TV, although it was an Emerson, for like $300 or something like around that range. I don't know the exact number.
Yeah, something super cheap, yeah.
And I don't think I'm allowed to say the exact number.
Anyway. Whatever.
But they're selling it super cheap.
Right.
And my mom, who knew the actual price, was like, I'm surprised people aren't killing each other for that. And I was like, I don't think that's a figure of speech.
No. I'm a little surprised that people aren't surprised, because it just feels right at this point. Although I do like, kudos to... the stores, not only for opening earlier and sort of curbing a lot of chaos that would have happened in the past, but also for opening on Thanksgiving Day to give people something to do on Thanksgiving Day. Because Thanksgiving's a lot like Christmas in that after the festivities are over, it's a whole lot of boring. And so if someone wanted to get some shopping done, good on you. You can go do it.
Yeah, although I wasn't... You hear the stories about, like, you know, Walmart being like, hey, employees, you have to come in.
That
Friday
stinks.
Midnight. That kind of stinks.
Yeah.
Also, so we were really close to Bevo. Mm-hmm. Back to the game, sorry.
Of course.
To wrap this up. And I also saw the Poochie.
Yes?
I saw Revelry.
No.
Revelry?
No.
Well,
you know that R that you're putting at the end?
I can't. I keep moving it around.
Take it out.
Say it real quick.
Revelry.
Revelry, of course.
Yeah.
Oh, man, it's the Revelry. I'm never going to get it, but I saw it.
Uh-huh.
Because I was in the back and the Corps cadets like brought it out. And right. I was like, it's a beautiful dog.
Oh, it's stunning.
And it was wearing a very adorable little thing over it. Mm. And I was like, I want to pet it.
Yeah.
But they'd beat me to death.
Oh, of course they would.
They would beat me to death. And so also, they do that thing at A&M where they don't boo, they hiss.
Uh-huh, yes.
I got to say, that's just not safe.
Yeah.
What if a pack of snakes had gotten out?
Well, that's actually the tradition.
Oh, really?
Yes, they started hissing a long time ago, I forget, 1900-something.
Okay.
Because snakes had gotten loose, and the siren song of the crowd hissing calmed the snakes.
Ah.
So they kept it. It actually happened 2 years in a row. So that was unfortunate, but it made a tradition.
So it wouldn't be that snakes would use the hissing to mount an attack on us humans. It would calm the snakes.
Right, exactly. Because for some reason, the number of people hissing at the same time hit the right frequency with these snakes.
Hats off to you, Texas A&M.
Bless you, agriculture and mechanical.
So I'm leaving. You know, it took me just a while to get back to, you know, the car or whatever, leave the stadium.
Right.
And it was a very exciting game. I was in the end zone where they kicked the final field goal.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to know how lame I am?
Sure.
I had my arms like up around my head or kind of, I didn't know what to do with them. We didn't link arms.
Okay. Yeah.
But I was excited. And then we nailed the field goal. I shot my arms up in victory. I shot my arms up so fast that I sprained both of my biceps. I'm in great shape, folks.
Yeah.
So I'm leaving and it's really late and I got to drive to San Antonio.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a 3-hour drive. It's already after midnight. And I was like, you know what? I will stop and get some food. That'll wake me up.
Yeah.
And there's a McDonald's out there. And I was like, you know what? And it had a line.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, it's the first McDonald's outside College Station. There's a line. I'll just hit the next McDonald's.
Yeah.
Next McDonald's wasn't for an hour.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was in Caldwell. And it was closed.
Yeah.
And then after that, I was like, I will take anything at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Anything. Guess what was open? Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing was open. Mm-hmm. Come on, East Texas. You got to get it together. You open up a Valero or, for God's sakes, get a Buc-ee's along that road. That was awful. I didn't end up going to San Antonio. I was like, I'm driving to Austin.
Oh, wow.
Which was still, it was like in 2 hours to 3 hours. By the time I hit something, I was 20 miles outside of Austin. I was like, well, then what's the point? I'm already here.
Right.
But that was, I started slapping myself a little bit. It was dangerous.
Oh, there is
peligroso.
There is nothing more brutal than a late night drive through like Hill Country or through East Texas or anything like that. Especially, man, when I was in college, like, 10 some odd years ago, and they hadn't really built it up as much as they have now. There was no Buc-ee's. There was no Love's or Valero. It was just an awful hell ride.
Surely there was a Wag-a-Bag.
No, I'm afraid not. I'm afraid not.
But didn't you have a bad drive back or something like that to talk about?
Yeah. My goodness. So I went down to Hempstead for Thanksgiving to see my family.
The Hada clan?
Of course, the clan Hada.
Do they like being called clan?
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
They never do. I got a ride down there.
What if they're wearing their traditional tartan skirts or kilts?
Well, then of course they do.
Okay.
Because they're out highlanding.
Has your dad ever looked at you and been like, someday I'm going to get that quickening? Just kind of traced a line over your throat?
You know, he says it every day.
Oh, my gosh.
More so now than ever. I don't know what happened to him.
Getting kind of old. I guess like getting kind of old. Could sure use some quickening. Don't cut off my head, Dad.
Please don't. At least not until I turn 32.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No, of course. So I got a ride down there to Hempstead, and I caught a Greyhound bus back. A very simple procedure. You buy a ticket online. You pick it up at this gas station in Prairie View, Texas.
Sounds like you left the driving to them.
One would think, certainly. So here's the deal. So in Prairie View, Texas, it's not like a Greyhound station. Uh-huh. It's not like, you know, you sit there and it's not a terminal, I should say. It is a gas station where a bus pulls up and picks up passengers or drops off passengers, and then just takes off. Well, this bus was supposed to arrive at 4:15. It was 20 minutes late. Thankfully, my parents took me to the gas station, so we're parked in the car. They wanted to see me off, that sort of thing.
Nice of them.
Very nice of them.
Quality parents.
Of course. They're the best. So we're sitting in the car just shooting the breeze, waiting for the bus to get here. And 20 minutes after it's supposed to arrive, we see it in our rearview mirror. It's pulling into the gas station. So, of course, we all sort of, you know, oh, that's us, you know, packing up and opening doors and grabbing my bag, saying my goodbyes. Bus pulls into the gas station, honks its horn at this guy who is standing outside the gas station just smoking and loitering. The guy waves as if to say, no, I'm not waiting for a bus. And the bus takes off.
What?
It stops for enough time, like, you know when you stop at a stop sign at a four-way stop and there's nobody else coming?
Roll stop.
A real Hollywood stop.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So it stops long enough just to say in definition that it did stop and it kept going. So I'm standing there with my parents and I'm like, is this really happening? Oh, it's really happening. So I go chasing after the bus, like running not quite full speed. That sort of like that almost arrogant speed where it's like, it'll surely see me.
Yeah.
But then the bus starts to speed up as if to say, oh, no, no, no. So I start to speed up and I'm not going to catch it at this point. So the bus takes off for good. And so, like, I don't know, because what happens is Greyhound only goes through Hempstead, Texas, or Prairie View in this case, twice a day.
Mm-hmm.
So my next bus is going to come at 1 p.m. the next day, which is today. But for some reason, it gets to Austin at 8 p.m. So I'm not going to do that. A two-hour trip takes 7 hours, according to Greyhound.
How do you do that?
I don't know.
Does it go through, like, New Orleans?
I think it solves crimes.
Oh, okay.
I think it's a great space coaster, and it just goes somewhere else. So I'm walking back to the car, and my dad, I'll reveal this much. My dad is recovering from some surgery. So he's supposed to be in bed resting,
mm-hmm.
but he just wanted to get out and say goodbye to his son and get some air.
Quality parents.
Of course. My mom, you know, I did the driving, but she hates speeding. She hates driving, really.
Uh-huh.
Well, have I got bad news for her, because we get in that car and we chase that bus to Brenham, Texas. So
how far away is that?
30 miles.
Wow.
Yeah. And by this point, it's already got, by the time we sort of regroup and, you know, decide, yeah, we're going to chase after this bus, it's already got a good 4 or 5 minutes on us. So we make up that 4 or 5 minutes, pull up next to the bus like we're driving along down 290. My dad's rolling down the window, waving my ticket at them, and I'm honking the horn, but the bus isn't stopping. It's probably not going to stop on the side of the road.
How did you feel about it? I'll say this right now. As an adult,
mm-hmm.
that sounds like a perfectly reasonable plan.
Yeah.
But something in me, I feel like if I was a teenager in their car,
yeah,
I would have been like, oh, embarrassing.
No. Well, maybe. Maybe if I was a teenager.
No, I mean, like, I'm saying right now.
Oh, I see.
This is what I would have done.
Yeah.
But I feel like if there was a teenager in that car, and if that was a teenage version of me,
oh,
I would
have been
embarrassed of even the honking.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to seem uncool in front of this bus driver.
Yeah, exactly.
No offense to your bus driver.
But in front of all those Greyhound hotties. Yeah, exactly.
Hey, can
I, sure.
Were there any hotties on the bus?
Can I be honest with you? There was one, actually. I was pleasantly surprised.
Really?
Yes.
Was she wearing a tartan skirt?
No, she wasn't. The only thing I noticed was that she wasn't wearing a ring.
Oh.
And that's it. Okay,
okay, back to regular voice.
Okay, yes.
Hold on, let's enter the creep zone. Croco creep zone. Hey, David.
Yeah, what's up?
How's it going in the creep zone?
It's pretty swarthy.
All right, back to regular zone.
Yeah. So we chase the bus to Brenham.
Yeah.
And because that's where its next scheduled stop is. I know this from riding the bus several times. And so it pulls into Brenham. We cut it off like Law and Order style,
mm-hmm.
like before it could even take off.
Throw down those chains with like the spikes.
So we T-bone in front of it, basically. I get out of the car. I say quick goodbyes to my parents, grab my bag. And the bus driver is sort of outside the bus stretching his legs.
Oh, now he stretches.
Of course. Yeah, exactly. So he's outside the bus and I walk up to him just to make sure, because there's an off chance that this bus is the wrong one. So I walk up to him. I go, I'm sorry. Is this bus going to Austin? And he goes, yeah. I pull out my ticket, show up to him, and I go, hi, I'm your Prairie View stop. You didn't pick me up. And the first response out of his mouth is, oh, you weren't there.
Uh-huh.
To which I said, let's be clear, I wasn't where. And he goes, you weren't there when I drove by. And I realized we're already at a disconnect, and I don't want to yell at the guy, and I certainly don't want to be kicked off this bus.
There's definitely a thing where it's like, I'm super mad at this guy,
yeah.
But do I want to make the man who's driving me my enemy?
Yeah.
But also, I'm super mad at this guy.
Yeah. So I gave him one of those like threatening pats on the back. And I go, you know what? We'll talk about this in Austin. And I had an hour and a half to just seethe about it. But then I calmed down and I thought about it rationally. And it occurred to me that, one, if he thinks I wasn't there or if that's his stance, instead of saying something very diplomatic and easy like, oh, where were you? Or, oh, I didn't see you, that sort of thing. Put it on him instead of on me, then we could talk. But for him to not make that connection, there's already a problem. And he's really not going to give me what I want, which is either an apology or compensation.
Yeah, you know, I had somebody, I've had some car trouble recently, and I went to a dealership to get it fixed and ended up taking forever. It took them 5 hours to tell me it was broken.
Wow.
Which, and then they told me, I was like, okay, it'll only be an hour longer. Maybe not even that long. Anyway, 2 hours later, they finally let me go. They called me back to see like how the experience was, and I told them it was pretty awful.
Yeah.
And so the guy called me up, and I was like, you know what? I want to complain, but what do I want to get out of this?
Yeah.
I don't want to go back to you. I feel like I would just be complaining to try and angle out a discount, and I'm not going to like grift someone out of money.
Right.
I mean, I deserved a better experience. Do I deserve discounted labor because of it? I don't know.
Like, yeah.
Part of me thinks yes, but then it just I don't want to like bend over backwards.
Well, that's where you and I differ, because I am an apologist for anybody who has a job, period. Mm-hmm. Anyone who has to serve anybody else. So I know this guy is probably having a rotten day. This guy has to, I mean, he's driving on the day after Thanksgiving. That's fine. I get it. You know, if he's just bad at his job, period, I'm fine with that too.
Is that the busiest travel day of the year, or is it the day before Thanksgiving?
I think it's the day before Thanksgiving.
Oh, okay. I'm sure this one's got to be top 10 though.
Yeah, because after Thanksgiving, you can spread that out to Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Touche.
Yeah. So, but this is one of the rare times where I really, at the very most, I want to be reimbursed because I paid for a certain type of trip and I did not get it. At the very least, I want someone to acknowledge that I was inconvenienced. And this guy's not going to be able to do that.
Can you complain to the Greyhound.com people or whatever?
They gave me a number. I actually walked into the terminal when I got dropped off in Austin, and I walked up to the guy and I was like, I'd like your name and identification. And he goes, for what? And so I had this conversation with him just about how he inconvenienced me. Because here's the thing. I was very fortunate to have been sitting there with my parents in a car that I could drive to Brenham. If I was just me waiting in Prairie View, Texas for a bus and it passed me, I'd be stuck in Prairie View, Texas.
If you weren't snuggling up to that smoking newspaper guy.
Exactly.
If he wasn't your best bro over there.
Yeah, so I would have been stuck in a town trying to get home, and I would have to wait another day to get home. And there was no acknowledgement that, oh, that's kind of a raw deal. So they gave me a customer service number. I forgot to call it today. I've been very busy. But I will call them, and I will get retribution. The day will be mine.
Any chance the guy smoking was a secret government informant a la the smoking man from the X-Files?
Didn't he die recently? Oh, that was the well-manicured man. Anyway, to answer your question.
He wasn't called well-manicured man.
Yeah, he was.
Wasn't he called something else, like fancy man, well-dressed man?
No, I remember him being the well-manicured man.
Kissy man?
Because I would read that in TV Guide, Cheers and Jeers, and go, I wish they'd give him a better name.
I sure wasn't something else.
Positive.
I'm going to look up a lot during the break.
You go ahead.
Speaking of the break, we should take one.
Yeah, let's take one.
You want to play something?
I sure do.
I'm going to stall for time with a little, hey, Dave, look what I can make origami style. I know. Oh, it's radio instead of TV. Oh, I keep forgetting. Oh, my goodness gracious. Oh, yes. Okay, so what we have here is the Almighty Defenders, right?
That's right.
Off of their album, The Almighty Defenders, self-titled.
Yep.
This is Cone of Light.
Yep.
More Moscow Wedding Show, Después de Eso. Back. We had a couple problems with the connection, but that was the Almighty Defenders off of their self-titled album, and that song was called something. Busby Berkeley is the name of the director, who was a World War II veteran that was famous for his like dance positions or something. I could not think of that earlier. And also, David, you were correct. It was the well-manicured man who I was thinking of. Or no, that you were thinking of, the guy from X-Files, not the well-dressed man. And we got a phone call. KOOP, you're on the air. Oh, hold on, that was my bad. KOOP, you're on the air. Hello, KOOP.
Yeah, so we knew something was wrong with him when his favorite He-Man character was a Borg.
Hello, hello?
Yeah.
You're on the air.
Oh, hey, little brother.
Calvin.
Hey, what's up? Sorry about that. I was just talking to your call screener, Timothy.
What were you guys talking about?
Just talking about you growing up. About how, you know, we sort of had, you know, questions about you.
Hey, where are you? You were supposed to join us at the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you never showed up.
Oh, no. I was there. I guess we just missed each other.
What happened to you?
Well, that's sort of why I'm calling. It's kind of an interesting question. So I got there early. Like, what time did you get there?
We actually did not get in the stadium. Oh, I should say, folks who are listening, this is my older brother, Calvin.
Calbone.
On the phone, which, well, anyway. We didn't actually get there until after the first touchdown.
Okay, see, that's a mistake you made.
Well, we were trying to get in, but it was crowded.
Yeah, well, I got there, like, super early, so I was there for a long while.
Well, when did you get there?
Well, like, I pulled into the parking lot, like, what time did the game start? Like, 7 p.m., something like that?
7, yeah.
Yeah, I got there Tuesday at 3 p.m.
Tuesday at 3 p.m.?
Yeah.
What have you've been in College Station since Tuesday?
Yeah, I was doing some mega gating. It's like when you do tailgating, but it's like mega.
You said that you told our parents that you couldn't come to Thanksgiving this year because of work.
Well, I kind of was working.
How are you working?
Well, you know, I got a business that allows me to travel now.
Okay, I guess you're no longer working in the sandwich shop then.
Oh no, not after what I did to them.
Okay, how about we just don't talk about that on the air?
We can talk about it a little bit.
Please don't, I'd rather not.
All right, I just couldn't use certain words.
How about we just talk about it afterwards?
And I couldn't talk about what I did with the olive.
Okay, please, all right. So you were in College Station.
Yeah, I've been in College Station.
So what were you doing?
Oh, I was on the road. I was traveling, doing my sales job.
Well, so you work in sales. What do you sell now?
Steaks.
So you sell steaks?
Yeah. Yeah, out of the back of mommy's car.
Can you not call her mommy on the radio?
Well, she's our mother. What am I supposed to call her?
Mom?
Look, all right, I don't have that kind of bond that you do with mommy.
No, you have a weird one, okay? Yeah. She has actually requested to my face. She goes, I don't have the heart to tell Calvin, but if you could get him to stop calling me mommy in public, it would really, she'd appreciate it.
I don't know if that's right. That sounds more like daddy talk.
Okay, daddy was there. Dad was there, and he said the exact same thing to me.
All right, well, I'll try to curb it for the sake of this call.
Wait, so you quit, you sell steaks? Why would someone out of the back of your car?
Yeah, that's right.
Why would someone buy steaks from you out of the back of your car when they could just get them at a grocery store?
But they can trust me. They can see the meat in the car and see me handling it, and they can trust that that it's good meat.
I'm going to hop skip over that logic. Have you actually sold any steaks?
Define sold.
Okay. Have you traded steaks to someone for money and for nothing else?
See, you caught me with that last one.
Yeah, I thought, okay.
You're pretty good, little bro.
So what else have you been... wait, do I want to know this?
What? Ask away.
So you've sold some steaks to people.
I have gotten rid of some steaks in exchange for money and things.
What were some of the things?
I probably can't say them on the radio.
All right, then don't.
Let's just say there was a little back and forth.
I don't.
Forever.
Okay, I don't. You just said you don't want to talk about it.
All right.
So you're selling steaks, but then why weren't you at the game at the right time?
Well, that kind of goes back to the mega gating. I kind of hit a little too hard, maybe.
All right. What were you doing?
I started knocking them back like around Thursday morning at 4 a.m.
So you're drinking a lot of beer.
Yeah. Beer. And then I had some Jaeger Blasters.
Jaeger Blasters?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Jaeger Blasters, the little peanut butter sandwich is soaked in Jaeger.
That's right. They sell at Diversions Nightclub.
Yeah. Oh, can you make your own, or do you know? Because I know Diversions is only in Sunken Valley.
No, there's like a food truck now in College Station, like a Diversions food truck.
Oh, that's cool. The Diversions is branching out.
Yeah, it's called Lil Versions.
Okay, sure. And you had some. And they sell little mini Jaeger Blasters or full size.
They had Jaeger Blasters and Ultimate Jaeger Blasters, which I had never had before.
What's an Ultimate Jaeger Blaster?
It's like chips for your little peanut butter sandwiches, but they're soaked in gin.
So you get a peanut butter sandwich, which has been soaked in Jaeger overnight.
Uh-huh.
And you also get chips were soaked in gin.
Yes.
How many of those did you have?
Well, I had about 6 Jaeger Blasters, and then I had about 4 Ultimate Gin chips.
Okay, so 4 individual of these chips soaked in gin.
4 bags of Ultimate
Gin. 4 bags of chips. Because honestly, I think 1 chip soaked in gin would probably be enough gin.
Probably.
But you had 4 bags.
I sure did.
How much were the chips soaked in gin and just left in the bag, or did the bag have any gin in it?
Well, the chips were sort of like, you know that old couple in Titanic?
I don't.
Yeah,
the one that went down on the boat.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So the chips were drowning in gin.
Why did you reference? God, you're weird. God.
Because now you can see the chips, can't you?
Yeah. I could see the chips holding hands together as they go down?
That's right.
Oh, my God.
They're going down my gullet.
You need to... All right. And so that sounds like you were pretty blasted yourself.
Yeah, I was pretty gone by the time the concert started.
You mean the game?
No. There was a pre-game tailgate concert outside Kyle Field.
Oh, was it some like local or student band or something?
No, it was pretty riotous. It was 7 Mary 3 and then Toto.
Whoa, 7 Mary 3 and then Toto.
Yeah, that's right.
Did they play Cumbersome?
They did. They played it as a band, and then they played it with the Fighting Aggie Band.
Oh, I actually am sad I missed that.
It was pretty great. When they got to the bridge where they talked about the arrow and the cross,
yeah,
Reveille did little flips.
What? The dog was there.
It was pretty great.
God, is there footage of this anywhere?
I don't know. Probably check GeoTube.
You mean YouTube?
No, GeoTube. It's that video sharing service run by GeoCities.
Oh, that's still around?
Yeah.
Didn't that cost money?
Yeah, it did, but just get Daddy's password.
All right, once again, can you not call him that, please?
All right, get Glenn's password.
It demeans us both.
All right.
Okay, so, well, I don't have a GeoTube account.
All right, well, then you're just going to have to live on in secondhand tales, man, because that was a rocking concert.
And how was Toto? Did they play Africa?
Of course they did. This was the best part. So they started the concert with Africa.
Yeah.
Then they ended the concert with Africa.
Okay, so Africa twice.
They played Africa in between two.
So they played Africa 3 times.
3 times. Hat trick, my man. The hat trick of Africa.
Did the crowd seem behind it when they played it the 3rd time?
Well, there were people walking in and out. So whenever someone would walk in, they'd go, "Hey, Africa," and that was it. So they were pretty on board with it.
Okay, well, I can't fault them for that, I guess.
Yeah. So I was rocking out. I actually, at one point, I actually got on the stage, which wasn't really a stage; it was just the back of a flatbed truck.
Okay.
Yeah, they kicked me off.
As they probably should have. So, were you just tired after that? Is that why you didn't come over to the crowd?
No, that's when I hit the next round of my tailgating. Which I guess actually is just sort of going into the stadium. I went to see the game after that.
Okay, then why weren't you sitting with us?
Well, where were you?
Okay, well, I mean, we showed up late, but we were actually really good seats. We were like 6 rows right behind Bevo.
You're behind Bevo, so you might have seen me.
Well, I didn't see you. Why? What? Did you?
I was the guy who was trying to ride Bevo.
I didn't see that at all. When did you try to do that?
I tried early first quarter. Like after the TV timeout.
Okay, I don't think we were in there yet. Well, you tried to ride Bevo, so they stopped you and kicked you out. That's why you couldn't see the game?
No, I got him. I rode him for a little while.
You rode him for a little while. Where did you ride him?
I rode him for a little while.
Okay, well,
To the upper deck.
You rode Bevo from the field to the upper deck?
All the way up the steps. It was pretty steep.
You know, Bevo did look, he was sitting down a lot during the game.
Yeah, well, that's probably because what happened when we got to the top.
What happened when you got to the top?
He lost his foot and we fell all the way down.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Did anyone get hurt?
Oh, Bevo did.
Well, he seemed, I mean, he was sitting down, but he seemed okay.
Well, it was probably something to do with his ribs.
Oh, my God, that's awful.
I sort of rode him down like a lunch tray on a hill. Like, you ever slide down a hill?
Yeah, you did that to a live animal.
Yeah. It was pretty righteous. I steered him with his horns.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I guess I would have ran out of there, too, if I had done that with Bevo.
I didn't run out.
Oh, so they threw you out? That's, you got to get it together, man.
No, I got arrested, and they put me in Aggie jail.
Aggie jail?
Yeah.
Like the College Station police station?
Yeah, well, it's not so much a police station, almost like a secret police station. It's like a bunker under the 50-yard line where they used to store their old milk suits.
Their old what?
Milk suits, like the milkmen wear.
Okay. Oh, yeah, you like, okay, yeah, sure.
Now it's a top-of-the-line jail for Aggie usurpers.
So there was other people in this jail?
Yeah, yeah. There was me, and then there was a couple of guys who said some mean things to Revelry.
What did they say to Revelry?
They called him the Revelry. C-word.
Wait, sorry, what?
They called him the C-word.
So they were locked up in Aggie jail because of that?
Yeah, they still are.
Well, they're still there?
Yeah.
Well, how long? Okay.
They've been here for 3 years.
Oh, my goodness.
Apparently, people take that dog very seriously.
I guess they do.
Yeah.
So how did you get out of there? I mean, if they were there for 3 years.
I'm still here.
Wait, you're calling me from Aggie jail.
Yeah. This is my pre-dinner phone call.
Why didn't you call Carolyn? She lives in College Station.
Does she?
Yes, she's been going to school there for 3 years.
I thought you were the one who lived in College Station.
No, I live in, you know, I live in Austin.
I don't know. I played at the game. How'd you get to the game from Austin?
I drove.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, it does make sense. What is going on? You need to get it together. Tell you what, you want me to call you a lawyer, try and get you out of there?
Tell you what, can you call me Carolyn? Put her on the phone right now.
I'll tell her to call you.
How about Daddy?
I'm not going to. No. I think it'd be better. Look, this is, can I be honest with you, this is not a high point of anyone's life, what you're doing right now.
I don't know. Top five, maybe.
No, it's not a top five. How is this good?
This is going on the year-end newsletter. Come on, admit it, bro.
No. Stupid son steals cow, gets sent to Aggie jail.
All right, listen. When you say it that way, it doesn't sound great. Look, I gotta go. It's dinner time, and they're serving ziti tonight.
Okay. Don't you want to get out of there, though?
Maybe one day. Maybe after the ziti. Talk to me later.
Okay, what? Because they're bringing ziti? Hello? Calvin. Oh, he hung up on me. Oh, that's nice. I guess he's, real excited about that beanie. Whatever that is. Beanie Weenie? Is that something? He's in Aggie jail right now. I didn't even know that was a thing. Gotta be honest. Where were you when this was going on?
I was attending to some business.
That'll happen. Radio business takes up a lot of time.
That's right.
It definitely does. Hey, folks, we gotta get out of here. We gotta make room for the clear spot. God, there's only a wittier way to say that. We have to spot some clear space.
We
for
have
the
to get,
following show.
It's time to get spotted, clear style.
We have to clear some room for the spot following us.
Hey, you got a spot on your pants. Let me clear that
there,
for
it's,
you.
It's unsolvable, David.
It's the worst.
It'll never happen. We're screwed over. Hey, folks, but Dave, want to give them the goodbye spiel?
Sure. For more information about Mascot Wedding, including archives of past shows and information about various night jobs and side gigs, you may visit mascotwedding.com. Email us. We're at mascotwedding@gmail.com. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter at Mascot Wedding.
In honor of it being post-Black Friday, this is The Mall and the Misery, or The Mall and Misery, by Broken Bells off of their self-titled album. We will see you next week. Well, I won't be here again.
More guests.
I know. I'm constantly abandoning the show, David.
Yes.
If I were you, I would probably replace me.
Planning on it. See you next week.
With a different sexy lady than myself. Bye, guys.